Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God tonight. I believe God has a word for us. And I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to stay here a minute longer than God wants us to be here. But I believe tonight God wants to touch somebody. He's still a miracle working God. He's still a healer. He's still my healer. He's still your healer, praise God. And you don't have to leave this place the same way you came. How bad do you really want to be free tonight? Can I slide this thing down? Thank you. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read one quick verse here that I know you all could probably quote. Chapter 1, verse 6 of the book of Philippians, the writer said, being confident of this very thing, that he, hallelujah, who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now flip over to the Old Testament, book of Psalms. We're going to read a couple of real quick verses here. I'm going to start with verse chapter 42. Verse 11, that says this. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And then in Psalm 71, verse 14, it just reads simply like this. But I will hope continually. Everybody say continually. And I will praise you more and more. God is worthy of our praise tonight. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this place tonight in our hearts. Let not one of us leave this place untouched by what you have planned for us this night. Nobody came in by accident. Nobody just wandered in here. We're here because you've ordained it for us. So I ask you, Father, let the anointing fall on me to bring the word and on us as hearers and listeners to receive what you have to say. And I thank you that we're going to leave this place and we're going to declare it was good to have been in the house of God. Amen. I don't know about you guys. I really like this amen thing. I need to get me one of those. In fact, is this it? Oh, yeah. Does it work? All right. I don't know about you, but I believe I have a good feel for what a lot of us in the body of Christ go through because I know the things that I experience and what I see in my church. But, you know, some of you may have come into this place tonight struggling. Now, on the outside, most of us look pretty good. You've heard that old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover, right? You can't necessarily look at someone and see the trials and the struggles that they may be going through. They may look nice and pretty on the outside. They may look like they have it all together, but inwardly they're a mess. And I don't know about you, but that's been me sometimes. I knew and know what being a church member looks like or should look like. Amen? You got to come in with a certain look, a certain attitude, so that people won't think something bad about you. And we put on this mask trying to be something that we're really not. I want to tell you tonight, it's okay if you've been struggling. It's okay if you've been distressed. You might have come into this place tonight bearing the weight of the hardships and the burdens of unanswered prayers, unanswered questions, and even sometimes a faltering faith, a faltering hope. But I came tonight to give you a little bit of encouragement. I want you to leave tonight with a little bounce in your step. Amen? I want you to leave different than you came into this place tonight. Praise the Lord. Let me say this. What you see with your eyes, what you envision, becomes your reality. In other words, your personal vision of how things exist in your world does truly make a difference. We have to understand that reality as you see it and perceive it matters. Because if you put your hope in this world's way of doing things, and I promise you, it will lead you at some point to down the path of discouragement, down the path of being down disheartened and downcast. But I came tonight bearing some good news for us. I'm here to tell you that we have examples in the Word of God that show us how we should live in times of peril and in times of heartache. You see, we are children of the Most High God. We're not ordinary people, you know. We've been empowered with someone. He's called the Holy Ghost. I said he's called the Holy Ghost. And the greater one lives inside of you, praise God. You've got something this world doesn't have. Come on, somebody. I preached kind of hard this morning at my church, so my voice is a little rough, a little dry. I might need two or three of these before it's over. But you know, as you walk down this journey of life that we're all following, and you have times of distress, and you have moments when it seems that your whole world is falling apart, I came tonight to remind you of something. Something God spoke to me riding down the road a few weeks ago. And I knew when I heard it that I wanted to preach this message tonight. And it's simply this: it ain't over until God says it's over. You hear me? It ain't over. Pardon my grammar, but it ain't over until God says it's over. So whatever you're going through tonight, I want to encourage you. You're going to go through it. You're going to make it through it because you're not going through it alone. God is with you. His power is with you. And you are an overcomer. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am an overcomer. I want to tell you, it is possible to praise God in the hard times. It's easy when you're on the mountain. It's easy when the praise team is up here singing like they did tonight. It's easy to lift your hands in church. But let all hell break out against you. What's your response going to be? How are you going to respond to the lies of the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy from you? I tell you what we need. We need some but gods. Amen. You might find yourself in a situation that looks hopeless, but God. Oh, glory to God. You might find yourself in a place where you can't even pay your utility bill. And I can understand that today. You might get that thing in the mail and you go, I don't have any money in the bank, but God. Amen. Sometimes all you've got is a but God. You might get a bad report from the doctor. Might tell you that you've got to die. His report says that you're not going to make it. But I want to just tell you tonight, but God. But God. You might find yourself tonight bound by drugs, alcohol, pornography. You might find yourself dealing with things that you just can't seem to get any way out of. But God. You hear me? God sets the addict free. He sets those who are bound free. All you've got to do is trust him, turn to him, and declare in the midst of your trouble and your trial, but God. It might look bad. It might hurt. But God. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or think. I want to tell you tonight, God is greater than your problem. Here's one. The devil may be telling you that your family ain't going to get saved. But God. Our bishop has declared, our overseer has declared that this is the year of the prodigal. Did you hear me? It's the year of the prodigal. I've got a son that tonight is a prodigal, but God. He's headed down the wrong way. But God is going to intervene when the time is right. All I've got to do is stand on his word and declare it and believe it and not give up. But God. It ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. That kind of will become your personal battle cry. Because I promise you this much, you're going to face attacks. As long as you're walking around in this earth suit, you're going to come under attack. Because there's a devil that's on the loose. And he's trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's going to do everything that he can to discourage you, to hurt you, to harm you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, but God. Hallelujah. Even when our run has slowed down to a crawl and our shout has died and fallen to a whimper, we can still learn to wait on our good Father. With a fierce expectation that what God tells us in the Word of God is the truth. I believe we need to get some people in the church that really believe that this is the truth. You hear me? Not just coming in, hearing a word here and there, feeling it, making you feel good. We're not here to make anybody feel good. We're here to tell you that this is what God has said to you. This is God's word to you. And the devil hates it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy your relationship with the Word. Don't let anything rob you from this book. Come on, somebody. God is faithful and God is true. I have found that out in my own life. Even in my failures, even when I was at my worst, God was always at his best. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we can't praise him for our circumstances, we can praise him in spite of them. Sometimes you got to say, it hurts. It hurts. I don't care what my body says. I don't care if my mind is crying out with anxiety, but I'm not going to let that rule me. I know what the world says I should do. The world says pop a pill. But I'm going to open up my Bible and see what does God have to say about it. And begin to speak that. And I've got news for you. God is listening for his word. Why? To perform it, the Bible says. 2 Timothy said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's good news to know in this hour, isn't it? We live in a messed up world, people. And we can sit here and hope it gets better, but I don't know that it's going to get better. But I do know this, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we're going to hear the trump of God sound. And then those who are dead are going to rise, and those of us who remain are going to rise up to meet them in the air. Praise God. It's almost over. First Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. And here's an Old Testament one for you. You probably could quote this with me. I love this verse. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Praise God. Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? I just want to remind you, it ain't over until God says it's over. Praise the Lord. I was reading in preparing for this, and I went back and I read the Old Testament account. Something just fascinating about this story of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. And I'm going to read this to you very quickly, so just stay with me. Ezekiel said this, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, he said, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So what did Ezekiel do? He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. If God says do it, you need to do it. Amen? It ain't enough just to hear it. Sometimes you've got to put some faith to what you've heard. Come on, y'all. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and he said, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Some of y'all about to hear a noise in here. There was a noise, and suddenly there was a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. I want to tell you, this world, Hollywood, has nothing on God's hand. Amen? And he also said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So, what did he do? He said, so I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them. And they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Praise God. I want to tell you again, it may look hopeless tonight. It may look like it's not going to work. It may look like you ought to quit. But I want to tell you, it ain't over until God says it's over. Our first example, well, I'm only going to share two, but our first example, it occurs in an odd place, in a cemetery. Now, to me, this is symbolic of a people, and we could say of a church, whose hope has died and has been dead for a very long time. I'm working on my master's degree, and I just had a class a few semesters ago where we studied the anatomy of dead churches. What kills a church and things like that. And it's sad that there are people even today sitting in churches that don't even know their church is dead. I had the privilege of speaking to a lady recently who came into my office, and we're doing some stuff in our local community in Aden, and we were talking about the end time events. And we do a Revelation Bible study on Wednesday nights at our church. We talk about current events and those types of things. And so we got to talking, and she was talking about how bad things were. And I said, yeah, we're getting close to the rapture. Thinking she was going to go, yeah, Pastor. She just stared at me. Now, this woman teaches in her church. She's a lead teacher in her local church. And I said, you've heard of the tribulation, right? No. And I said, okay. how do you work with that, you know? And I thought, God help us as pastors when we're not preaching truth to our people. When we're not preparing our people about what's about to happen on this planet Earth. Amen? And there are a lot of churches, like I said, that are dead and don't even know it. Thank God you're in a church that's alive here at Alley Good Church of God. Amen? You ought to be thankful. You've got a good pastor that brings you the word. You've got a good staff. I know Brother Craig has helped me out of many, many different things. He's been a very blessing to me from the time we first started about 2 years ago. But you're blessed here to have a church that's alive and touching your community. And when I started pastoring Living Faith Church, I said, I don't want us just to be another church. Listen, I don't care how big we get, because honestly, God delivered me from numbers. The only time I hear about numbers is when I go to Kenley and the pastor say, well, how big is your church? And I try not to think about it because it's not how big your church is. God didn't call me to build the church. In fact, he said, I will build the church. I'm going to build my church. He called me to disciple, to teach and to preach and to go out into the highways and the hedges and declare the truth of the word of God. And God will give us the people he wants us to have. Doesn't mean I don't want to grow. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not so possessed by worrying about how big a church we are. Because I found this out. If we'll trust God, he'll send the people that you need and he'll provide what you need. But the sad thing is, a lot of churches really have no idea their spiritual state. They're walking around like, you remember the series that was on several years ago, The Walking Dead. Just walking around in this zombie state when it comes to spiritual things. I don't want to be dead to the things of the Spirit. I want to be alive to what God is doing in the earth. Amen. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of it. Praise the Lord. But you know, there for many people tonight, maybe some of you, maybe some of us, you came in here and it feels like you have no future. It's just bones. No body. Just bones. No signs of life. Just bones. No light. Just darkness. No life. Just death. But the Lord, he asked Ezekiel a question. He said, Son of man, can these dry bones live? And I bet Ezekiel looked at that situation and he didn't know the answer. You ever have someone ask you a question that you don't know the answer to? What did Ezekiel say? He said, Lord, you know. That's what I call passing the buck. Lord, you know. What Ezekiel saw was a hopeless situation. But God don't look at things the way we look at things. Help us, Holy Ghost, to see how God sees. Help us, Holy Ghost, to examine my own life and see my life the way that God sees me. Because the devil's going to try and paint me a bad picture. Amen. He's going to try and do the same for you, a bad picture of yourself. Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. But listen to this. Ezekiel had to go down to the cemetery. And I know it was a cave, but I'm calling it a cemetery. He had to tell those dry bones that God was not finished with them yet. God is not done with you. I said, God is not done with you. I believe that's a word for someone tonight. You might feel like it's over. You might feel like sometimes we get to a certain age and we think that our usefulness has passed. Listen, no. I said, no. God can use you right where you're at. I don't care if you're young or old. God is not done with you. But hear me. This transformation that I'm talking about that needs to occur in all of our lives, this coming alive, this transformation and restoration begins when we hear the word of the Lord. Nothing more important for you. Because in this situation, those dry bones, hearing the man of God prophesy to those dry bones to live, that was the spark that brought life to them. It might be that in your situation you're facing tonight, you've been putting up with the lies of the enemy too long, and you've been laying back and letting him push you around. Maybe you need to stand up. Maybe you need to shake the dust off of you and take out your Bible and say, this is what God says in his word. So, devil, hear this. I am not going down. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not discouraged. I'm an overcomer. I'm blessed going in, blessed coming out. God is for me, not against me. I don't have to fear you. I don't have to be afraid of any of your attacks because God is greater than anyone that's coming against me. But it takes the word of God to revive what seems dead. Did you know mountains have ears? Didn't Jesus say, speak to the mountain? Now, I'm not coming in here trying to be a word of faith preacher, trying to tell you, you know, believe God for new houses and new cars. But I am telling you that we can rock our world and change our world when we learn to stand on the truth of the Word of God. God will provide for you. All Ezekiel had to do was speak to the dry bones. He spoke his word to a hopeless situation. Because you know what? Sometimes we accept the fact and we think that it's over. And if God were to speak to us, he would say this. He would say, did I tell you that it was over? Did I say it's done? Did I tell you to quit? Did I tell you to give up? Did I tell you to stop teaching that Sunday school class? Did I tell you to stop ministering to the youth? Did I tell you that I was done with you? I want to tell you, God can put a marriage back together. God can put a family back together. God can even, it's a miracle, but God can even put a church back together. Amen. A business can come back. A dream can come back. Some of you here tonight may have lost your dream. God can restore that dream to you tonight, praise God. Surely hope can come back. Why? Because it ain't over. Till God says it's over. And I've got one more, and I'm going to work hard to bring this to a close. Brother Gary told me he preached 15 minutes. No, he didn't. He didn't. Can I just tell you, I love that man of God. He's been a blessing to me. You know, some people, when they call you, your phone will ring, and it says, I've got Pastor Gary Bateman, and it rings. I'm excited to get his call because I know it's going to be encouraging. Some of my people call, I just kind of like, I'm busy. No, I'm just kidding. Can I also say thank you to some of my church members that came out tonight? Listen, Alligood ain't that close to Greenville. And it's a lot further to Aiden. My wife kept going, we're taking all these turns. He's going, where are we going? And then you get here and wow, God has blessed this community so much. God is so good to us. But there's another instance in Scripture I just want to touch base on just briefly. One of my favorite stories, too, in the New Testament. It's about a man. His name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. And listen to what the Word of God says, because I like sharing what the Word says. And it says, then it happened as Jesus was coming to Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But what did he do? He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Well, could you imagine to be crying out and Jesus hears your cry and suddenly he stops? You know something's about to happen, don't you? You know it's about to get real in here, praise God. Because Jesus, you've got the attention of Jesus himself. So Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, wouldn't you like to hear this? What do you want me to do for you? What if suddenly Jesus would appear right here, right now, and say, everybody in this building, what do you want me to do for you? Would you have a list? Is there something you would want God to do for you? I think for a moment I would go blank, but I have a list of things too. But he told Bartimaeus, he said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. What is it that sets Bartimaeus apart here? And it stood out to me that that obviously he had faith that, that Jesus was coming. He had heard of Jesus. We have to hear that Jesus is coming. But he did something. Bartimaeus cried out. He refused to be quiet. We've got too many Church of Gods that are quiet. Problem with a lot of us, we've sung the song so many times that now it's, we're just going through the motions. Come on now. I get to do this and leave. Brother Gary can you know, work on the healing part. But it's true. And I see it in my own church. People come in and they sung the song so many times, it's nothing more than just going through a routine. But when you stop and think about what you're really singing, God is good. I said, God is good. Hallelujah. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but Jesus intervened on my behalf. He stepped in my path. Oh, glory to God. You can't tell me to be quiet in church because God has delivered me. He set me free. I got to even pinch myself right now and say, what am I doing here? I'm preaching the gospel to you wonderful people. God is a good God. And plus, today's Palm Sunday, right? It's a day we ought to be vocal. If there's any one day, it's this day. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about an inward, silent inward cry, because that wouldn't have gotten Jesus' attention. Some of us think, I've had men actually say, well, it's just not my style to get emotional and praise God. But you just turn around and wait till Saturday gets here. And 12 men, or 20, however men play on each side, it was 11 and 11, and they're running up and down the field chasing a piece of pigskin, and they kick that thing through the upright, and everybody's cheering out of their mind. But we come to church, and we're supposed to be quiet and reserved and dignified. There's nothing that piece of pigskin has ever done for me but take my money and disappoint me. But I come into this place and I get to think about my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God. I am going to heaven just as sure as if I was standing there right now. Not because of who I am or because of my works, but because of what Jesus did for me. Hallelujah. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They said, now y'all stay seated, okay? Because you're taking my time. See, I get nervous when people are quiet. I don't know, Brother Gary, when it gets quiet in church, I get nervous when I'm preaching. I'm talking about using your voice with intensity and passion, crying out to God like you don't care. You don't care what your wife beside you thinks. You don't care what your children think. You don't care what your neighbor down the pew thinks. You're not worried about them. You're not trying to get their attention. Amen? Because those people kept telling blind Bartimaeus, keep quiet, keep quiet, shut up. He was poor. You know, he was probably smelly. They probably didn't think nothing of him. And he was just a distraction that they didn't want. And they're telling him to shut up. And I bet you they weren't very kind about it either. What did he do? He said, I don't care what you're saying to me. You ain't my help. I said, you ain't my help. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to impress him. I'm not trying to get your attention. I want the attention of Jesus, praise God. Because when I get his attention and he stands still and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Something good is going to happen. And then last and in closing, he was persistent. We give up too quick in church. we come down here and let pastor pray for us and dab a little oil on us. And we walk back to our seat, dejected and rejected, thinking it didn't happen. We give up too quickly. We listen to those voices telling us, go sit down. You're making a show of yourself. You're looking funny. I pray God give us a church full of people who are desperate. Amen? I don't care about the refined. I don't care about the nice. I had to take my tie off. It was about to choke me. That thing's a snake. I kept looking at my wife, and I thought, I need to wear a tie. You know, I'm preaching, Church of God, you know, district meeting. I need to look like a pastor. And I kept wearing that tie, and I hate ties. I remember, some of you probably remember, we used to go to church 3 or 4 times a week. Every time we had to wear suits and ties. But some of us, God has delivered, praise the Lord. So I took that thing off. I said, here, Ray, put that in your pocketbook. I'm done with that thing. Brother Gary didn't have one on. That was my freedom right there. So thank you. But we must be persistent and refuse to give up. I remember when I was a little kid, I got saved when I was about 12. It was at the Grindle Creek Church of God. I don't know if y'all remember that church, but that's way back. My mom used to make me go to church. I hated every minute of it. I've told this story to my church, and y'all remember on Sunday nights? They had Sunday night services, too, and on Sunday nights. Remember, it used to be this show that came on Sunday nights. It only came on Sunday nights. Was it called Walt Disney World or Wonderful World of Disney, something like that? And one particular Sunday night, my mom made me go to church with her, and that was the night that the Apple Dumpling Gang movie came on for the first time. And I wanted to see that so bad. I mean, I was so mad at her for making, she didn't care. She didn't want to go by herself. She made me or my brother go, and this night she picked me, and I missed that. And back then, we didn't have a VCR. It didn't come on, 4 or 5 times a day like it does now. And so I hated it. But I remember at the age of 12 going down to the altar, and I'd gotten saved, and I felt the call of God on my life, even at that early age. But I wanted the Holy Ghost. And I would go down there, and I knelt, and I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I was there for at least 2 or 3 hours because I just wanted, I wanted it. I didn't care what other people said. I could hear people leaving. But I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, at that age, I didn't receive him. And it was many years later before I did receive him. But there's something about tarrying in the presence of God until you get your miracle. Don't give up, church. Don't give up. I don't care if you come down for prayer every time pastor gives the call to have prayer. Ask. Keep on asking. Seek. Keep on seeking. Knock. Keep on knocking. Amen? This man, Bartimaeus, would not be denied. Faith is persisting, even when everyone else around you is resisting. Because the people that were lined up around their shops, they're lined up in the streets, they were leaving their homes, they came in anticipation that the Son of Man, the Son of God, was passing their way. They wanted to see Jesus, this miracle worker. Blind Bartimaeus. He would not keep quiet. He was persistent. And you know the story. Jesus healed him. I believe Jesus still heals tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got 7 more pages here, so I'm filtering through. Praise God. Let me close with this. Hebrews 11:6. Now, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that, number one, God is, that he exists, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for all of you with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It ain't over till God says it's over. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And Romans 8:35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Only if you quit. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then I'll end it with this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, to separate you from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So church, here's my word for you tonight. It ain't over for you until God says it's over. And God ain't saying it's over yet. You keep pushing in. You keep persisting. You keep crying out. You refuse to give up. And God will answer your prayer because he is still a miracle working Jesus tonight. Would you stand? If you're here right now, I heard this drop right in my spirit. If you're here right now and the enemy has told you to give up, he's told you to quit, and you've not done it, but you've been hearing him loud and clear telling you it's time to quit, it's time to throw in the towel, it's time to give it up. Is there anybody here tonight that feels that would be you? Anyone? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. And my word for you tonight, my friends, is God ain't done with you. I said, God ain't done with you. It ain't over, April, because God says it's not over. Listen, this is just the beginning. This is just the start of what God is going to do in your lives. And this lady in the back, I pray the Spirit of God would just encourage you and strengthen you. The devil is a liar. I want to ask everybody in this body to point your hands toward these two ladies. We've got one right here and this young lady in the back. Point your hands to them and declare God's blessing over them, that he would strengthen them, he would encourage them, he would empower them, he would give them the strength to stand.